Greetings, Slidell. This is Bob Rouse, your host of the Grace Radio series Voices. This new adventure in programming for Grace Radio focuses on the voices of our neighbors here in Slidell about matters of community interest. Our guest this morning is Pastor Morris J. St. Angelo,
the senior
pastor of New Beginnings Church on Robert Boulevard. Brother Morris, glad to have you here today.
Glad to be here. Morris J., wow. The only time I heard that when I was growing up was when my mother really wanted to get my attention.
Well, that's where we are today. I really want to get your attention.
All right.
Brother Morris says, you know, I watch the news, and if I believe everything I see on the news, our country is absolutely in a crisis and falling apart. And I don't know who to believe. I watch a number of the different news networks, and they all have a different take on it, except to one point. And that is, we're in trouble. Do you have any comments? Anything you'd like to say about what's going on in our country today?
Well, I don't know a whole lot about our country, other than what I hear on the news and see on TV or read in the newspaper. But I'll tell you what, St. Tammany Parish, Slidell, Louisiana, if you call it Slidell, is a marvelous place to be. And
yes,
I'm so glad to be here. The people I surround myself with are part of the solution, not part of the problem. If there is a problem, the solution makers that I deal with know how to solve problems. We're not immune from situations. But you know, Bob, it's the old glass half full, half empty. It all depends how you want to look at it. For me, my glass is brimming over with goodness. God has been good to me as an individual, good to my family, good to my community. As you know, we just left a meeting that is probably the most important meeting that takes place in our community every month, and that's with our mayor, who gathers the ministers of the community together on a monthly basis to inform us of what's going on so we can pray about it, to get our input to things that are happening, and that it's kind of grown, as we saw this morning, that chief of police was there, fire department chief was there, many of their assistants, ministers from every denomination and racial background. We were all gathered together in one room, and we talked about good things, solving things, unity, hope, loving each other, laughing together. And you know, maybe Rome's burning, but I don't live in Rome. I'm right here at Slidell, and things are good right here in our town.
In view of all the things that are going on, one could say that maybe you just have your head in the sand, that you're just focusing with your little group, and really the nation as a whole is in trouble. But we have a nice little paradise here, but the nation itself is in trouble. Is that how you see it?
Don't mess with me. I'm very happy where I am. Don't ask me that kind of question. No, I don't have my head in the sand. I'm well aware of what's going on, especially the topic that's on the news these days is Charlottesville, Virginia, and what's going on there. I consider myself an informed individual. But as an individual, let's just talk to the folks in Slidell for a moment. We're not living in Charlottesville directly. So in a direct way, we're not in harm's way. That doesn't mean we don't pray about it. Doesn't mean we don't have opinions about it. Doesn't mean that we can't have civil conversations about it. If we let ourselves as Christian individuals and as a community get overwhelmed by what's in the news, our sense of well-being will disappear. The only thing we have is today, and we need as best we can to trust in God. The scriptures say that the steps of the righteous are ordered by the Lord. Tells us in other places, don't worry about anything, but in everything with prayer and supplication and thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And then the peace of God that will keep your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. So we need to rein in our mind, rein in our thoughts. The scriptures say whatever things are lovely, whatever things are good, whatever things are virtuous, anything of a good report, let your mind dwell on these things. So in order to maintain a sense of well-being, to keep our little boat afloat in our not tipping over, I think we need to rein in our mind and our thoughts to that. And to, as we did this morning, to have conversations about, so what if a storm kicks up? What do we do? And I think to be prepared to address issues as they rise, but not be overwhelmed by things we hear in the news. There is hope, there's joy, there's laughter, and I'm going to do as much as that I can so when the day of trouble comes, I'll be ready for it.
Well, if I hear you correctly, we're saying not to focus on the past of things that were, but really to look forward to the future of what could be in God's kingdom. The fruits of the Spirit of love and joy and peace and patience are things that we all can look forward to an ever-increasing portion in our lives. And to be able to focus on those things rather than whatever hurts might have been in the past. You know, maybe there's personal hurts. Maybe there's things we can look and maybe there's grudges and anxiety and things like that. But if I hear you saying all we can do is live where we live and do what we can do, but also keeping an eye to the future of what can be.
Yeah, and it's not all we can do. It's what we must do. We can get overwhelmed very quickly. If you're swimming and you get overwhelmed, you're going to drown. But if you keep your head, you got a good chance of survival.
Yes.
So we need to keep our head. The neo-Nazi event in Charlottesville, the statues, the racial strife, that exists. It needs to be addressed. But I think it needs to be addressed by sober minds who sit down and have dialogues. Now, you know I'm very narrow-minded about some things, all right? I believe that Christ Jesus is the solution to everything, just because I've seen that work a lot, and so I think it's a good solution. One of the good things is to build friendships and relationships around that. The more I know, let's talk about a racial way.
Okay.
The more I know African men and women on an individual basis, the less likelihood there is for there to be racial strife between us. Because if we love each other and talk to each other and listen to each other, and that's the old joke, God gave you two ears and one mouth for a reason. He wants you to listen twice as much as you speak. If we'll listen, we'll hear how we can get along. And we can be empathetic to people who have hurts. One of the dialogues that I've had with an African-American friend, it's hard for me to say African-American about him because he's just a buddy, just a guy who we serve together in the community. We're pastors at church. We love each other. We know each other's wives and kids and all that stuff. But we've gotten good enough friends that one day he confided something in me that as a black man bothered him. And I thought it was one of those moments when he told me this story. And he said one of the things that he hates about what happens is that when people are afraid of him. And he said, you know, Morris, he said, I am not a violent man. I won't hurt anybody. Man, woman, boy, girl. You know, I'm not going to hurt anyone. Although I've had a career in the military and was an officer. I believe he was a major in the military. But he said, when I sense that people are afraid of me, it bothers me. He said, sometimes I know because I am a black man. If I stand in line at one of the local stores and there's a white woman in front of me and she catches me in the corner of her eye, he said, I'll notice she'll clutch her purse maybe a little tighter. And he said, I can almost feel her being afraid. And he said, what I want to say is, ma'am, I don't want to hurt you. You know, I'd protect you. I'd give my life to protect you. And he said, that's the kind of things that bother me. And boy, you know, Bob, that was a precious moment where someone trusted me enough to tell me the real truth about racism. And that little story changed my life. And it changed my wife's life. I went home, and if my voice sounds a little cracky on the radio, it's because I'm emotionally moved just to tell the story. I went home and told her, and it changed her in the way we think, because we have to think differently. The scriptures tell us on many occasions to repent. Now, that's been so misunderstood and abused because we've used it in churches. It's sackcloth and ashes, you know, weep and lament, lay on the floor, cry out to God and tell him what a rotten bum you are. And that's not what it means at all. It literally means to change the way you think. That story changed the way that I think. Because I know I've done stuff like that. And been aware of someone because of their color that they may in some way inflict harm on me. And it's not true. There are people of every color who would inflict harm on me for some reason, or to rob me, or to hurt me. But it's 99.9999% of the people that I meet are not going to do that. The point I'm making is the relationship that we build one-on-one can change us. That change in me will be communicated as I'm communicating it today. Maybe somebody listening on the radio will hear that and say, you know, I'm that way. You don't mean to be that way, but you are that way. And we can change our family. We can change our community. We can rid the world of racial strife by understanding and caring about each other. Does that make sense, Paul?
It does, and it's more than just taking Morris's word for it or your friend's word for it. It's something you really have to experience. So if we withdraw to our corner and sit there and say, Lord, change my heart, change my heart, change my heart, we get nothing. But we become involved. When we risk for the sake of somebody else, when we risk for the sake of a relationship, that's when the doors fly open.
Yes, they do. And I think people want doors to fly open. I really do. I think, again, going into talking about racial issues, I think there are African-American people and white people and Hispanic people who want the doors of communication open. They want to talk. They want to have dialogue, but we're afraid to talk.
Yes.
We're afraid to sit down and have that honest conversation. And I realize that to build any relationship, and you and I talked about this very early on when we got to be friends, some, was that 105 years ago?
Close to 106,
but who's counting? we discovered that the more we knew about each other, the more that we let the walls that separate people fall down, the more we knew each other, and we found out things. We found out good things, and we found out things that are bad. Not everything that you do pleases me. Not everything I do that pleases you. But they're not things that keep us separated. It's things that we laugh about, we talk about if necessary, and we build that relationship. That's the clue. But the thing that made the conversation with that man important that day, and the thing that made the conversation between you and I important, is my narrow-mindedness. It's the Christ love within us that allows us to love one another. Jesus, and he's pretty smart, okay? And I love the way he said this. He said, let me paraphrase it in my language. He told the disciples, he said, boys, let me explain something to you. This is how people are going to know that you're my disciple, or that you're my friend, or that you're on the same page as me. It's not by all the miracles. It's not by all of the, you know, brouhaha. It's not by, you know, you being a goody-goody two-shoes. They are going to know that you are with me by the way, not the way you love me, but that the way you love each other. You get that?
Amen.
So it's the way that you and I love each other. It's the way that we love people of different religious backgrounds or ethnic backgrounds, and just stop being so blooming important in our own mind and look at other people and see the value in them. And when we see the value in another person, then we can see that God loves them, and it makes it really easy for us to love them. But it's that Christ God love in us that allows us to do it. I believe that'll work.
You know, many, many years ago, when it was dating time, to ask that girl for a date to spend time with you, you felt a little at risk.
Yeah.
You felt a little nervous, like, gee, I don't know how this is going to go. But there was something driving you to step beyond your own concern for yourself to be able to say, hey, how about a cup of coffee? How about going to the dance with me? Will you be my date for the prom? You know, there was a little anxiety maybe. There was a little reservation. But you reached out because you knew there was something on the other side that you wanted to be in your life. And, you know, and I guess I see that same parallel that if you want the very best that God has, yes, you have to risk. You have to take a risk. You have to reach out. You have to go beyond yourself, beyond what you think you're capable of doing, to be able to let God do what He is capable of doing. Nothing's impossible for Him. But then again, nothing really happens unless we risk. We take that first step.
Yeah, it is risk. There's a song I used to sing many years ago, and it says, I am loved, I am loved. I can risk loving you, for the one who knows you best loves you most.
Hmm.
And so if we're willing to take that risk, you know, I don't have any statistical evidence of this, as we were saying a little early before we began the interview, but I traveled this country for about 25 or 30 years in the business that I had, a computer business, and I've been to coast, border to border. I've met people of every stripe and color you can imagine. In all of that, and all the travels, and all the planes, and airports I've been in, hotels, and just taxi cabs, most of everybody I met were good folks. Most people are good, Bob. There's always a small number who terrorize everyone, to use that popular phrase today. But most people are good. Most people want to be loved, and they want to love. Does that mean you're going to agree with everything? I promise you, there's people in New York City is not going to agree with me from being down here in Louisiana, because we come from different parts of the country. We think differently. In fact, let me tell you a little story about that, because it comes to mind. I went to install a computer system in Albany, New York. I called it Albany, but they call it Albany.
Okay.
And it was in the winter time when I went up there, and I was installing the computer system at this hotel, and I noticed that people were treating me rather, I felt in a hostile manner. And, you know, one or two people did it, and I just kind of blew it off. And then after a while, I noticed that everybody was doing that. You know, since I owned the company and I could make decisions like this, I went in to see the owner of the hotel. I said, look, if I've done something to make you angry, you know, you don't like the computer system, I said, you don't owe me a dime. I'm on the next plane out of here, and we'll just shake hands and be buds, and I'm going. And he had stark terror on his face. He said, what are you talking about? No, we love you. Man, we're so glad you're here, and we love this system. I said, well, why are these people talking to me that way? And he said, like what? And I gave him, for instance, somebody said something very direct to me. And he said, no, we talk like that all the time. I said, man, in South where I come from, nobody talks that direct. You know, we just say, you know, how's your mom and them? You know, bless your heart. No. He said, no, we don't do that, but we're okay. And it's a good example of, we may have some differences, but it doesn't mean that we're not good people and we don't care about people.
Amen. Amen.
And so I learned a valuable lesson that day up in Albany, New York. I've still got to say, truthfully, I hope they're not listening, I was still glad to get out of that place. It was cold and nasty. I want to get back home in the South where I belong.
Home's a good place to be. Home is always a good place to
be.
You know, Morris, I hear what you're saying, and I think probably a lot of people would agree with this, that there is a goodness about the people in this country, that maybe we just need to know people better. Mm-hmm. To be able to kind of step the whole game up a little bit. Recently, you've been talking about things that we might be able to do that kind of gives us a to-do list, something to work on, something that maybe we can do to make a difference. And maybe you'd share a little of that thought pattern with us today.
Yeah, it's just a thought that came to my mind. You know, today we have a new practice that's happening in our country, and I think it's a good thing, where we're recognizing police officers and military people and first responders. And we do that by going up to them and shaking a hand and say, thank you for your service. Sometimes we'll see them in a restaurant and buy them a meal anonymously, you know. And so we kind of do that to honor them. I wonder, it's just a thought, I wonder if we could do the same thing to people who are different than us. What if you see an African-American family?
Okay.
Or you see, if you're African-American, you see a white family, or Hispanic, or someone who's different than you. What if you bought them a meal? Or just went up to them and said, good morning, how you doing? My name's Morris, and shake hands with them. No big deal. Just have a great day today. I wonder if we couldn't change the dialogue by doing some of that. And just reaching out of our comfort zone and being kind to someone. I know if I was in a restaurant and someone bought me a meal anonymously, I would wonder who it is. It would change. I'd be looking around the room to see who it was. Wouldn't it be nice if it was some African-American or Hispanic or someone else who just did it just to be good to me? Or if I did the same thing. You know, it's like being in line and paying a toll for the guy behind you. But to be more than to be purposeful about it, to actually see someone that you know might not be your best bud, but to just go and do something good for them.
You know, I think there's an underlying message that goes with that. When you do something like that, it acknowledges and compliments the presumed goodness of the other person.
Yeah.
That when you buy him a meal, said, I there's something good about you. I don't know what it is. I don't know who you are. But I believe that there's something good about you, and I want to affirm that goodness. And that's kind of the takeaway for me, whether it's a, like you said, a handshake, a polite nod, purchasing a meal or a cup of coffee, or just in some way being a blessing to somebody else, simply says, there's something good about you.
Amen.
And I want to build on that.
Amen. I think if we do that more, if somebody does that for you, it's going to change your day.
Amen.
You're going to live differently that day.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
And let's say you have a bias. Your bias has been played with. It's been messed with.
Yes.
It's going to make you rethink some things.
Yeah, yes.
Okay? So, I don't know. Might give it a try and see. Would you run up a trial balloon?
Well, Morris, it's been an excellent visit today. I think you've hit upon some important subjects that in areas that we can do something about. Not trying to figure out all the problems of the country, but simply in our own realm of influence,
yes.
Things we can do something about. Is there one closing thought you'd like to leave us with today?
Yeah, I guess it is. Just don't get defeated and don't get down. The scripture says, just look up. Jesus said, be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Be of good cheer.
Amen. Great word for today. Thank you, Pastor Morris. Really appreciate you being with us today.
Glad to be here.
And thank you, Slidell, for tuning in to Voices here on Grace Radio. We want to hear from you. You can call us now at 985-250-1037. You can leave a comment. You can send us a text. We're anxious to hear from you. And if you have a word for Pastor Morris today about something that he said, let us know what it is. We want to hear your thoughts. We encourage you to like us on Facebook, Grace Radio Slidell. Check out on our website, www.graceradioslidell.net. There you can make tax-deductible donations to our station. We need the support of listeners just like you. And again, give us a call, 985-250-1037. Well, that's it for now. Join us again for Voices of Slidell daily at 10 a.m. and 3 p.m. and get in the flow of God's grace here in Slidell.